Be prepared to be enthused. I think I probably find myself in this space quite regularly. Most of us probably find ourselves in three of these spaces on a regular basis. And so you might think, well, I connected a lot with last week, and I think I connected quite a bit with the week before. Is there something wrong? Now, there's nothing wrong at all, because each of us, I think, connect with a number of these. We'll probably find that one of them is more us than the others. So it'll be interesting to see as we go through whether there's one that you think, oh yeah, that's definitely me. The other purpose for doing it, I'm not going to nick too much of your time, Elizabeth, don't worry, is for us to get an idea of how other people connect and possibly to step into their spaces and have a go at connecting with God in the way that other people do. But also, thirdly, to think about how this might help us as we connect with others. Because we all have these different ways that we enjoy being, and it's in those spaces that we're most likely to connect with God. So what does that mean for our outreach? What does that mean for our mission? Which probably has existed predominantly in one of these spaces. So can we create spaces where it's easier for people to connect with God as they're discovering him, as a way of us opening up different pathways for people to discover him and, get to know Jesus. So, Elizabeth, come. I love listening to Elizabeth. Fantastic. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray for ourselves and for Elizabeth as she shares with us. Father, thank you that you're a God who reveals yourself to us. And you do that in lots of different ways. And as we think about your word and we think of the various ways that different characters have engaged with you, discovered you and grown in you, we want to step into that stream of you revealing yourself down through history. We want to be people who get to know you, who press into you, who discover more about you. And I pray that as Elizabeth opens your word to us and talks to us, that will happen for each one of us and for us as a community this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome. And I don't normally get carried away with things that are sent round on Facebook or on the internet, but I did with this one. And after the lovely song that Rydell brought us this morning, and yesterday being Valentine's Day, the very fact that true love, God's loving of us, is just so wonderful. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I was just quite excited about that and posted it. Right, we are today talking about sacred pathways, and really Trevor's done this introduction for us on January the 18th, and we've already just had a pricey of that. The 25th mark, and we've heard how many people have been affected there, and I was actually with the children that week, but as I listened to his talk, the thing that really affected me was he was challenging us as to whether there, you know, how much we use our sixth sense, in a sense, the spiritual and the supernatural side of our being. And then February the 1st, activists and Lawrence, and I was so encouraged and stimulated by the people through the ages that have been so active for the kingdom and the lasting history and mark on society that they have made. An enthusiast today, and an enthusiastic person, is one who is very interested in and keen on something. And then next week, naturalists with Karen. And here I have to confess to disobeying the leadership, and I repent of that, because what I'd actually put there was naturists. And Trevor told me I couldn't change it, and I did, so I apologise for being disobedient. When I looked up sacred pathways, I found this picture. That was what came up, and I thought, are sacred pathways like a maze? And I would like you to challenge you as something you can think about in cells. Is a maze a good representation of a sacred pathways or not? Something to think about and discuss. And in the book, Gary says, enthusiasts are love God with mystery and celebration. And he says, enthusiasts enjoy a celebratory form of worship as well as many of the more supernatural forms of faith. And people with this spiritual temperament like to let go and experience God on the precipice of awe and excitement. What a challenge I've got this morning. And Christianity has its mysterious side, and we worship and serve a supernatural God who manifests himself to us in supernatural ways. And so that's our starting point. The mystery bit. He talks about dreams, quite a few pages on that, and the warnings and the blessings. And personally, I'm not one given to hearing from God in this way, as maybe some of you are. And again, in cells, please share ways in which God has spoken to you through dreams. But when I do dream about someone, I do pray for them when I wake up. And he also says that dreams can, in a way, prepare us maybe for what is ahead. And the next mysterious bit is expectancy. And when you came to church this morning, did you expect God to break in supernaturally? Was your expectation there? Sometimes we think, oh yes, we'll just pop along to church, get a bit of a blessing. We should come with an expectancy that we won't go away the same because we will have met with God. And prayer. Prayer moves us to call on a being that we cannot see and ask him to alter that which we can see. And then on the celebration bit, he says enthusiastic worship. Celebration is a privilege, and celebratory worship leads to joy. And we've really experienced that this morning, and that's been super. And creating something can be a profoundly holy experience. And healthy Christians create, and it's a little bit disappointing that I can't point to the artistic work on the board this morning. But of course, we normally have our artists creating. Chloe's created her cards, and Jill and Trevor and the others, they create their pottery, and there's music that's created, and metalwork. There's so many ways of creating within our fellowship. And getting together. Enthusiasts will want to spend time, more time with others than without. And praise God, that's why you're here this morning, because we can be together and we can enthusiastically praise God. We've already done that and we'll do it some more, because I'm going to look at Psalm 103, the Psalm of David. And what we're going to do, I'm going to talk to you about it and unpack some of the things in it. Then we will read it together antiphonally. And then we will have a great countdown, a noisy countdown to celebration. And then we will launch into celebration, praise and worship. So that's where we're going. That's the introduction. And we are in to Psalm 103. For the traditionalists of you, Psalm 103 is part of the Church of England morning call to prayer every Monday and every Tuesday. And for the intellectuals of you, the 22 verses of Psalm 103 reflect the 22 Hebrew, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And again, the Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the 19th century pastor and author called the Prince of Preachers, says that there is too much in the psalm for 1,000 pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures which is a Bible in itself, and it might alone, almost alone, suffice for the hymn book of the church. So, the structure of this psalm, I like to see it as a sandwich. The bread, I like to see as the praise bit of verses 1 to 5, where David must praise the Lord. And then the last two verses, where it speaks of angels praising the Lord. And I like to see the butter in my sandwich as the declarations of verses 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed, and 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. And then the filling I like to see as verses 7 to 18, God's love and compassion. And this is what our countdown to celebration is going to be. And basically, I studied the frequency of certain concepts within this psalm and thought, yes, I'm going to get excited and enthusiastic about that. So, number 7 and number 6. Number 7 is praise. The word praise, we've sung it, we've prayed it, we've said it this morning. It means bless, give honour and glory to. And praise gives frame and tone to this psalm. 7, 6, praise the Lord. 6 times it says praise the Lord. And David erupts into praise to the Lord. And so many of our choruses include that. And David loves his creator and he overflows emotionally, intellectually and practically in praise to his creator. And then it says, O my soul, 3 times. The call to praise is directed at our soul. It is the Hebrew way of addressing oneself. And of course, our soul lives on after we die. And we frequently talk to others, but how often do we talk to our soul? And I don't mean, you know, talking to ourselves is the first sign of madness. Sometimes we may be in a place of apathy and gloom, and we need to shake that off. And sometimes we need to speak to ourselves and say, come on now, get yourself together and praise the Lord. So, 7, 6, 5 benefits. Oh, I'm sorry if it's got a black background, but never mind. You can get there. Anyway, the benefits. There are 5 benefits in this psalm. A benefit is an advantage, something that improves, and something that blesses people. And here we have 3 verses of personal spiritual blessings received. And Janice has already quoted this morning, and we've shared with each other benefits that we want to thank God for. Now, benefits help many needy families. They've been in the news this morning because you realise that from tomorrow, there's no longer any job sequence allowance. And 6 benefits will be replaced by the universal credit benefit. And the government have said this morning that this should have a real impact on people's lives. And old people, we get free prescriptions, we get bus passes. How grateful are we? And, you know, we are sometimes not very appreciative of these benefits that we get, yet we should be. And scripture is full of remember, 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 or Forget not. And so I love these five listed benefits. And they're all in the present tense. They're not in the past tense or the future tense. They're in the present tense. So yesterday, today, they are ongoing and daily. So forgiveness. Oh, we've just sung it, haven't we? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed transgressions from us. We're all human, so we do all sin. But as we repent, God just forgives us on a daily basis. He heals us. Now, of course, not perpetually, because from every illness, because, of course, we have all got to die one day. But God, who created the human body, is able to mend his creation. Our body is wonderfully made. The immune system, antibodies, the natural healing process are all remarkable. But we believe in that supernatural God, the one God who also heals miraculously and restores to health. And we've prayed this morning for Lizzie and for Abby, and we have sought to see the supernatural and release miraculous healing into these people's lives this morning. And another thing I challenge you to do in your cell is to share testimonies of healing and the way that God has given you not only just the healing but all these benefits. Share testimonies. So the God who forgives us as a judge heals us as a creator, and then he redeems us. And this is the kinsman's right to buy back. There is a cost involved, and I think the story we all think of in Scripture is in Ruth chapter 4, where Boaz has to act as a kinsman redeemer before he can marry Ruth. Such a beautiful story. And for us, it's not just deliverance, but we have been redeemed from guilt. We have been saved and delivered from the pit of hell. It is an Old Testament concept, but as we come up to Lent and up to Easter, this redemption, redeeming, is all to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has paid the ransom. He has paid the price, and then crowns us with love and compassion. Royalty wear crowns, don't they? And when we're crowned, it is a reward and an honour, and for we're given his love and compassion. And then the last one is who satisfies you with good things, satisfies us, who fulfills our desire, our expectations and our needs, so that our youth is renewed as the eagles. So we have satisfaction even in old age. And the eagle enjoys unusually vigorous longevity, between 20 and 50 years. So here we are encouraged not to become grumpy old men and women as we ease beyond the prime of our life. And even though this time of life can be fraught with difficulties and problems, and I remember I visited an old lady a few years ago, and I used to really, really love visiting her, because although I was going to help her, when I visited her, I got so blessed, because she was such a positive and such an enthusiastic and lovely lady, full of the joy of the Lord. And although she wasn't well, and although she couldn't do things, she was just such a tonic to my soul to visit. And my prayer is that if and when I get that old, that I will be someone who people will want to come and visit, because they will want to not only bless me, but that I can bless them with some enthusiasm and some joy of the Lord. So, when we walk with the Lord, we are recipients of his benefits, and we can possess a spirit of delightful vigour and praise to God. And then, 7, 6, 5, 4, compassion, the feeling of empathy for the suffering and the misfortune of another, mercy. And in these verses, we see the four mentions of compassion. As a father has compassion on his children, and just as, you know, we're thinking of, you know, the people who we've prayed for this morning, their children are feeling deep compassion for them at this time. And anybody who's a parent will just understand that emotion that goes out when our children are in distress. But the Lord just pours out his compassion on us. And so, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, fear him. Yes, we need a reverence for God's authority, an obedience of his commands, and reverent fear for the awesomeness of God. And it is a godly fear that stimulates the believer to seek holiness. And these verses talk of those who honour God and order their lives in accordance with his will, because of their reverence for him. And Oswald Chambers, the early 20th century Scottish Baptist holiness movement evangelist and teacher, says, "The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." And another quote from a not so famous but an equally important person, my husband. "When one realizes the enormity of the Almighty and the fact that he has so much power and authority, all other causes of fear diminish into insignificance." And so the fear of the Lord, another psalm, Psalm 34, gives us instructions in the fear of the Lord. And I love the way here they are portrayed to us by the imperatives. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers him. Taste, the imperative, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we've talked about the goodness of the Lord this morning. "Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The fear of the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And again in Psalm 111 and Proverbs 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, righteousness, right action and fair dealing, being just, upright and virtuous. And the conformity to the law, mind and will of God is another benefit. We benefit from the compassion of God, the love of God and his righteousness. Righteousness should be our lifestyle, and it is a gift of God to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, two, one. Verse 11. So great is his love. Great, it is huge, vast, extreme, better, higher, wider, incomparable with all other loves. And love is a profoundly tender affection for one another. We've been sung, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. John 3:16 was where we started. And that is the core and the central verse of this psalm. So great is his love. So now it's our time for enthusiastic celebration. And what we're going to do, we are going to, read the psalm. And I'm sorry if it's dark again, I'm learning. We're going to read it antiphonally. So one side is going to read the red verses. So you'll read you'll see as they go through. And then this side will read the yellow ones, okay? And it will sort of highlight, hopefully, some of the stuff that I've unpacked. So we're going to read that antiphonally. And then I will just say a little, I will invite you then to all stand and I will read a little sentence and then we will have a countdown to celebration. I will shout the number and you will all shout the word that will come up on the screen. So we'll have us like 7, praise, 6, praise him, right the way down to 1, when we all have a mighty shout of so great is his love. And then at that point, the musicians will already be in place and we will launch into praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Okay? So that is our route now to celebratory, enthusiastic worship. Okay, so this side starts off with me. Ready? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all these benefits.
Going the wrong way. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. His ways to Moses and leads to the people of Israel. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who is living, who obey his word.
Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you who servants who do his will.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. Stand up, please. So, let's count down with David to our celebration, declaration of praise of all God's benefits, compassion and righteousness in the fear of the Lord, and say, so great is his love. 7.
Praise.
6.
Praise the Lord.
5.
Remember God's benefits.
4.
Compassion.
3.
Fear him.
2.
Righteousness.
1.
So great is his love.
Praise my soul, the God.
God, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for blessing us again. And Lord, we pray that we'll go into the week praising you, declaring your praises and everything. Thank you, Lord.